To Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.
Oh Lord, remember me.
Remember me.
Oh Lord, remember me.
Remember me.
When these chains get broken, set my body free.
Nonsense. Why? Because it's nonsense. It's a con. But we have to have facts. You have to have facts to have logic, to have a rule of law. So I looked at this. These people sent this to me. I'm going to be posting it. I've just been so busy doing other things. There's only one of me. And, oh no, my cat's here. She's walking on my keyboard. Anyways, so I get this, and it's a 4-page document. Reminder, notice of intent to levy your property or rights to property. Whoa, and I'm shaking in my boots. It's a CP-504, whatever the heck that stands for. I've never bothered to check all that nonsense out. But what do I look at? What do I need in the paperwork? What do I need to use to counter this with facts, based with their stuff? Well, I go to the very top. Department of the Treasury, Internal Revenue Service. Is the Internal Revenue Service an agency or federal agency? The answer is unequivocally, it is a yes. So I have got an agency making threats against me. Okay. Well, let's see what they're using. I want to see what they're using. They say we're going to have the form numbers 1040, 40A, and all that, 40EZ. That's all nonsense. Those are implied in law contracts, but we don't even need to go into that. Tax returns are an implied law contract. Sign up and donate money to me, damn it. Please. Because you don't know any better. That's not what the issues are. Where are the real substantive issues? Well, let's see. We go on thing. This notice is your notice of intent to levy Internal Revenue Code 6331D. So they cite a statute. And then they go on down and they cite another one. 6330, we're not going to allow that. They cite two more, 6601 and 6651. They cite all statutes. Right. Then they cite 7303A, your taxpayer bill of rights. Yeah, right. That's a crock. Can we prove it? Oh, absolutely. We don't even need to go there. So where is the jugular? It's in the paperwork. If you know how to read it. They got a collection appeals request. Oh, there's just all kinds of places you can go to lose. Guaranteed. First of all, we've established it's an agency because it's what it says. It is from an agency. It is not from Congress. Congress can't send them to us. They get these headless fourth branches of government called agencies or federal agencies to come after us to do their dirty work. These people aren't elected. They're not accountable to anybody. They hold no public office. They're just a bunch of flunkies. And they do inquisitions just like the old star chambers. Absolutely. Come into my web. And you will confess to what I want you to say, or I will use it against you in the kangaroo court and put you in jail. John Thornton experienced it. Got it all documented. I know how they work. I got the stuff on it. Facts. Transcripts. But the thing is, what do I do? Where's, gotta push the panic button. Oh my gosh! They're coming after me! Whoa, run! You're in panic. Jose, my people die for a lack of knowledge. Now, I fought this, like a lot of people have, reading 6331. I go to 26 USC 6331. And what's it say? In A. It talks about here, levy shall be made upon the accrued salary and wages of any officer, employee, elected official of the United States and the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of the United States or the district, by serving a notice of levy on the employer. It's only talking about who? Federal folks, and then it says go over to 3401D, which is wages, subtitle C. Man, I beat the heck out of that. Subtitle C is not Internal Revenue Service. Not income tax. I'm not going to go down all that road. I beat the living P1. I worked that, and I kept coming up with the same solution. You know what? There is none. I read court cases. Every time you use this, so what? It's like water off a duck's back. Why? What is it that the IRS agency has to abide by? We've now proven we have no constitutional courts in America except the Supreme Court. Heaven help us. We've got some justices that may not be what they're supposed to be. Where's that remedy? I think that's a fair day question. What do I do? Well, we back up and we start seeing what we can definitely limit and I identify agencies, federal agencies. They're called the headless fourth branch of government. Franklin Delano Roosevelt labeled them that, said we don't have any control over them. I don't, says Congress don't, and the judicial is very limited. So what did they do? They enacted two things. There's only two things you can go after agencies for, because it's a different world. It's called administrative law. It's not the rule of law, it's administrative law. How do I deal with these criminals? Only the Federal Register Act of 1935, that was, by the way, put in the Federal Register twice, the whole complete act, and the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946, that was made specifically to plug the loopholes of what the Federal Register Act didn't cover, to find out if a regulation actually can bind you and me. I've never seen one yet that passes muster. Because, you see, they don't teach us how this works. They teach us, oh, we got to go to Congress, and they get around it. They vote on it on both sides, and the president, Comrade Biden or somebody, signs it, and it gets vetoed, and it goes back, and they override it. And we're stuck with the statutes. And then they come out with all these regulations, and we're supposed to take the regulations at carte blanche. They got it. They're definitely attached to us. Really? I don't remember authorizing that in the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution of one of these several states. It's not there. They made it up. They made the President of the United States is a federal agency, means, because it's all about status, citizen of the United States. But that's another issue. That's the core, by the way. But that's not what we do to fight these things. What do I do to fight? Well, the first thing that I would do, because I fought the statutory side, it's solely for government people. And you go to 3401D and the other side, Title 26. It's only for government. Well, why are you coming after me? Because I'm not government. They just ignore it. Why? Because it's as crazy as saying I'm in America and I'm bringing up French law. It's that, well, it's almost that foreign. Because guess what? Agencies can't use statutes. How do we prove that? What do these people use against us? Oh, well, why don't we go to the Federal Register Act? By the way, it's never been amended. They've got a phony thing that says, oh, it's temporary or something or other, a few parts of it. It's never been amended. They can't. They don't want to use it. We're not supposed to know about it. It's still there. It's in the Federal Register. And what do they say in it? Any document or regulation, rule, anything prescribed by a federal agency or agency that has general applicability and legal effect shall be published in the Federal Register. End of story. If you are, they are an agency, then they shall publish anything that has general applicability or legal effect. That's the Federal Register Act, Section 5A. And it says, if it ain't there, Bubba, they're done. If it ain't there, we haven't had notice. Because it says, no document required under 5A, general applicability and legal effect, to be published in the Federal Register shall be valid against any person who has not had actual knowledge thereof. In other words, it's like the laws. You can't have laws if we can't. The Congress can't pass laws of the legislature if they don't publish them, can they? And then put us in jail? Simple logic. So number one, it's mandated. It's general applicability, legal effect. You, as an agency, we've identified you as an agency. You shall publish in the Federal Register. Well, interestingly enough, I don't see one darn thing in this document that says regulations. That's the con. They want you to fight something of which there's no way to win. You're talking the wrong thing. Agencies are not bound by statutes. That's just administrative law. It's in Alice in Wonderland. So what do I do? The other part is because it's a for a new form of law called administrative law. They put in the Administrative Procedures Act that they have to take judicial notice of it. Is that important? Of course it is. They have to take judicial notice because, you see, statutory law is, by as a matter of fact, always take judicial notice because it's the law. Supposed to be. Not, but we'll leave that alone right now. You don't have to go say, take judicial notice of this statute or whatever. But if you're creating a whole new world of administrative law, then you got to create new rules. So they said anything that's published in the Federal Register that you have to take, everybody's got to take, shall be judicially noticed. That's in Section 7 of the Administrative Procedure of the Federal Register Act. Okay? So now we've established, number one, it's an agency. Number two, general applicability, legal effect, you've got to publish in the Federal Register. And if it's there, everybody's got to take judicial notice of it. And if it's not there, we're done. Now, the part between the Federal Register Act and the Administrative Procedures Act that is a requirement, which can be determined after, but it's a way to immediately look at Conrad Biden's or these administrative. If any delegation from Congress is given to an agency like the IRS 7805, a general make all rules and regulations that by as a matter of law cannot ever rise to be what's called a substantive or legislative rule having the force and effect of law. Can never touch you and me, because that would be giving the whole legislative power of Congress to an agency. And we can't do that. That'd be too easy to blow out of the water. I'll tell you in a minute here, we get down to some of the games that they play. But let's stay on point. Number one, it's an agency. Number two, what? General applicability, legal effect. The only thing agencies can do, just like Congress does statute, agencies do regulations in the Federal Register. And if it ain't there, we're done. If it is, everybody's got to take judicial notice of it. We check in the Federal Register to see if it is a limited or a general. For general grant, it's an interpretive or housekeeping, internal use only. There has to be a specific limited, which would say, Mr. CDC, you can get around and make a regulation on masks or something. That'll happen. The CDC is all nonsense. I've already debunked that. Okay, so now we get to that. So now what do? The Code of Federal Regulations is a compilation, like the statutes at large. It's a compilation of publications in the Federal Register that are under each specific statute. So I would have to go to the CFR, the Code of Federal Regulations, which is online, but I have it in Westlaw, so much easier to. And I would look up 6331. The statute has to be in the heading. Got to be there. So I go in and I look at 26. Got to be in the same title, so it's got to be in Title 26, CFR. And then there are different options with the IRS and other agencies. The IRS is the easiest to debunk. But it'd be something, period, a dot, 6331. So I go in and I check. Okay, is it a 26 CFR Part 1? That's Subtitle A, Internal Revenue, 6331. Nope, no regulations there. Okay, I go in and I check 26 CFR Section 31.6331. That's wages and all that nonsense. Subtitle C. Nope, not there. Not going to come. Thank you.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Okay, we're back. So now then, I find out there's no 26 CFR 1 point, which is income tax, subtitle A. There's none for 31, which is wages, subtitle C. I go look at 601, which is 26 CFR 601, which is procedural, 0.631. Those don't exist. I go look 26 CFR section 301.6331. Voila! There, I found it! It's a 301 reg. What they don't tell you is, because you can go into 5 USC section 301, yes, 5 USC 301. It's a housekeeping reg, and in the notice of decisions, you will find where they come out and have cases. Oh, yeah, this is housekeeping. But the issue is Chrysler v. Brown. Chrysler v. Brown. 1979, 471 U.S. 281, 441 U.S. 281, holding. 301 is housekeeping. Has nothing to do with subsidy rigs. And they go on farther down. They even cite there that the 301 merely gives department heads to regulate within their departments the way in which requests for information are to be dealt with, for example, by centralizing the authority to be dealt with for such requests in the department head. And they cite a couple of, I've got to look these two up. I haven't looked at them yet. I'm going to doc, because I'm getting everything documented up to the nth degree. Because I'm going to battle with these SOBs, boy, and I'm going to kick some serious butt. It's housekeeping. Well, how can you? It says it has no authority for any private right of action at all. It's for internal use only. So why are you threatening me and not providing the only thing that you can use under 6331? Now then, it even gets better. You see, I pulled down 6331. I don't have to go that far. As soon as it says 301, we're done. But I go in and I search for 553, which means it's got to be a subsidy rig. You have to have one of two ways, informal or formal way of making a subsidy regulation, something that has the force and effect of law. You don't even exist. Of course not. And there's no proposed and final rule. There's got to be a proposed and final. You got to do two steps at it. And you have to say 553. None of that's there. But it's even better if you know what you're looking for. It comes from experience, of which I posted on my list. All of the Part 1 Internal Revenue were republished in 1960 under statutory authority of 7805, which says they're all interpreting. The ones for Part 301 were all published in November the 3rd, 1967, 32 FR 15241, where they start. And they are also under 7805. They're interpreting rigs. Housekeeping, they go back and forth. Either one is interchangeable. They don't touch you or me. So they're threatening me with levies, lien and levy, with the 301 reg, which is the only thing they can use. I don't even need to get to the APA, which I'm going. They're done. But I go to download it out of Westlaw. That's one of the nice things about Westlaw. It shows the beginning of 1967. They show the source. And the authority they show is 7805. What they also show is every statutory authority for a 301 reg. And you know what? There's not one 301 reg under any statutory authority of 6331. There is no limited any sort of delegation of power under 6331. So that's another nail in the coffin. They're already dead because it's a 301 reg. They're already dead because we searched for 553, which I'll get to in a minute. So they're dead again. And then we can go to the bottom. It shows the source is a 1967 that has no proposed rule. Final rule is under 7805. So they're dead again. And then we can go, because Westlaw does the thing of putting all their regulations at the bottom for 301 regs. I have no idea why, but they do. So is there any delegation of authority from 6331 for this reg? No. They're dead again. How many times do we have to kill them suckers? Go to their webpage and see if they talk about housekeeping rigs and Part 301 rigs. Do a word search. It's a lie. And they say, oh, can I notice a deficiency, a 301 rig? That's a 211 or 12. And come to tax court. It's a 301 rig. Why in the holy heck would I go to a tax court over internal regulations for them that has nothing to do with me? I don't work for the Internal Revenue criminals. Duh. Then I even went so far on some of these. I said, well, let's just go around and look at them. See, at the bottom, they have a list of the other publications, other regulations. Well, let's go under the credit section. There's one for 1975, or 1971. There's nothing there. Lien for taxes. 6321, there's nothing there. It's all nonsense. 7805. Okay, so that don't go anywhere. There's no 553. So we go to the next one. There's 1973. There's a publication in the Federal Register. 301 under 7805. Okay, thank you very much. Well, we're still good. 1979, we go to another one. See, there's no 553. No. We got another one here, 1979. It's under credits. And it's all nonsense, too. There's nothing there. So it doesn't pass muster. Oh, here's a good one. Let's get back.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, so now I got this threatening letter. Number one, I established as an agency. How'd I do that? It's on the letterhead. I believe them. Okay, it's an agency. I believe the statutory Federal Register Act says if you're an agency, if it has general applicability or legal effect, that means to anybody in the whole world, it has to be in the Federal Register. And it also says if it ain't there, we're done. It also says if it's there, everybody's got to take judicial notice of it. Okay, so now we've got that established. So I go, look, the only regulation under 6331 in the code section has to be in a heading. There may be something ahead of it. they may get around and have other regulations under it that don't do that, like the CDC and some of those. They're off in la-la land. But the IRS, first of all, it's got to be 6331. And I go to the credits. Everything is nonsense. Oh, but we got a nice one here. Let me get around and find that one again here. There's a beautiful one here that's in the down there in the bottom that I like. I like these when they're really, let me bring it up here. I guess I lost it here just a minute. I was doing some other stuff here, getting ready. It goes ahead, and it says this is an interpretive reg. This is what it says. This is the regulation 48FR10060. That's part of the credits. It says, although this regulation was published as a notice of proposed rulemaking that solicited public comment, the IRS concluded that the notice was published, that the regulations were interpretive, and that the notice and public procedure requirement of 5 U.S.C. 553 did not apply. Thank you very much. I love confessions. Call me Father Ralph, and I'll turn you in every time. They admit it's interpretive in their nonsense. Supreme Court has held over and over against their cases. It's nonsense. If it's housekeeping or interpretive, if it starts with 301, we're already done. Well, let's go nail a couple of more coffins. Don't you just like to blow the living hell out of these liars? 7805 says it's interpretive. You go to the regulation, no 553, APA, blown up again. And then if you find out where it says it's interpretive, let's blow it up again. How many times we got to blow this sucker up? Then they get around. And they cite 6650. Is one of them, code section. What is 6651? Let's go see what that one is. Well, it happens to be a 301 reg too. It just happens to be republished in 1967. There is no 553 again. Nonsense. Failure to file a tax return or pay tax. Really? That's kind of like important, you think? It's a 301 reg. Failure to file a tax return is a 301 reg. Well, it says. And they're talking about Chapter A, Chapter 61, gross income. Whoa, way! I love this. 301 reg. Then they have 6606. That's one I'm not familiar with. Let me get around and type that in here. 26 USC CDF CFR 301.6601. Let's see what that guy is. That's some nonsense. Interest on underpayments. Whoa, wow. Let's see if they're 553. Nope. Oh, how would I know that? How do I know that it says the first thing it's 1967 again? Oh, just happened to have, I have all of the 1967 301s. Everything on this is a code. They have no authority. Zero. How did I determine that? Because the Federal Register Act says if you are an agency, the only general applicability and legal effect upon you and me shall be in the Federal Register. That's the evidence. It's got to be there. And if it's not there, we're done. They have to take judicial notice of it. And it's there. But it's 301 rigs. They don't tell you if 301 is 5 U.S.C. 301. If you have notice of decision, you can see a whole bunch of those. It says it's for interpretive nonsense. It's for their internal BS. I really don't care. Then we go to, if there is no specific generated, we go to the APA. There's only two tests. We go to the credits. Look at every Federal Register. If it's not a 301 reg, say it's a part one. 1 point something. Like it's a real one. Or it's the CDC. They use 70. Whoever, whatever they are, FDA, it don't make any difference. FAA, it's all nonsense. ATF, all of them. they have to state. There's got to be a proposed rule and a final rule. It has to be two stages. Period. End of story. But in the proposed rule, they have to say 553, we're abiding by it, or we're not. If they're abiding by it, it's formal. If they're not, it's informal, which is all you're ever going to see. Or here's the con. We just will get around and say, we're going to have a proposed rule. We're going to allow notice and comment. And then we're going to come back and we're going to list all of your comments. And somehow, it passed muster? No. That means you guys never, it's just like in Congress, you never had a vote. You can comment all the hell you want on it. It's a con. It has to state 553. And the proposed, we're either doing it, 553, usually little b as in boy, or we're not. They always come up with an excuse. I've never seen one said they're going to do it. Because they can't. They can't do either one. But they can cover it on the informal. And this is where I take issue with Supreme Court Justice Barrett. I read her first brief out, and she got to the informal, and she just poo-pooed it, didn't go into it. She knows better. So now I wonder if the child that she's got out of Haiti is illegal, and she's tied into Kamala Harris and the Clintons like this. I saw a video come out. I don't know for sure. But she's given me great pause that she's not who she says she is because she didn't support the vote. That was, I mean, anybody with a brain could figure out that the whole thing was illegal, unconstitutional. Call the fruit of a poisonous tree. And any person in the law that doesn't know what that means shouldn't be a lawyer. You can't take something that is against the law and validate it and make it right. Root of the poisonous tree. They use that all the time. Getting evidence from anything. But yet we had the fruit of the poisonous tree. We get to the House of the Senate. Oh, it's all right. Let's just, yeah, we, the legislature validated it. Well, the legislature down there can't authenticate fruit of the poisonous tree. Can't happen. But it did. Only by crooks. So anyway, what do they do? So there's two choices now. We've got it's an agency. We prove. We know its general applicability. It's got to be in the Federal Register, so we see if it's there. We go see what it is, but if it is there, they got to take judicial notice. If it's not there, we're done. We just check and see if it has a general applicability or if it's got a specific. I've never seen the specific. They may exist. I don't know. IRS, I've never seen one because I can't for a lot of reasons, which I don't have time to on this show to get into, but they can't do it. It's all a con. So what do they do on the informal? This is what they always do. It is impractical. It is unnecessary and contrary to the public interest. All these agencies do that, or they will use all three, supposed to, but sometimes they just say, well, it's impractical, or it's unnecessary, or it's just contrary to the public interest. So how do you stop it? On the informal, if it says that. I found this Senate report. That goes into great detail. It says you can't use this as an escape clause. A true and supportable finding of necessity or emergency must be made and published. So if you're saying all this nonsense, we don't have time to do the formal, you got to say what the emergency is. They never do because they can't. So they're DOA again. They're dead in the water. Doesn't have the force and effect of law. But what's even crazier, Trump recognized this. He did a Federal Register, or an executive order. Said they have to abide by the rule of law, these agencies and stuff. He did that. What is the first thing old Comrade Biden did? He gets in, we are not going to get around and have this rule of law nonsense with agencies because it would impede what we're trying to do. I kid you not. How did he know to do that? He didn't. Somebody did. They know we are being ruled by the administrative state. Because we don't know any better. So what do these words mean? Unnecessary. It said here, it would be, impractical. It says here, a situation in which the due and required execution of the agency's function would be unavoidably prevented by its undertaking public rulemaking. So if they let us know, we can stop it because it's nonsense. It has no authority. Wow, they printed that away. We can't, it's impractical, means we can't let you know because you could stop it. You'd say, wait a minute, we can't do this. There's no law. There's no authority. Unnecessary. What's that say? Well, it means you don't really, you're not really particularly interested in this. So am I interested in everything that ever the legislature, Congress is doing? I don't think so, but does that mean that I would have a right to object if I did? And then we go to public interest. It requires the public rulemaking procedure shall not prevent any agency from operating, and on the other hand, lack of public interest rulemaking warrants the agency to dispense with the public procedure. Prevent an agency from operating. We would not want to prevent the IRS from making these BS bogus regulations that supposedly have the general applicability and legal effect because we don't know how to debunk them. The only way to attack an agency, number one, it's an agency. Number two, general applicability and legal effect. There better be a statute with a regulation under that number in the CFR. And you have to take judicial notice of it. We know there will be no specific delegation, so that's just something that really needs to be aware of. That's between the Federal Register Act and the APA. But then we go to the APA, and you only have to do one thing. Go to the Federal Register publications and search on 553. First of all, if the CFR starts with 301, drop it in the garbage. If it starts with 601, procedure, drop it in the garbage. It's irrelevant. Supreme Court has said so. But look at 553. They will never say we're doing formal, never. Because they can't. We have to hide it under the informal. And then they'll always say it's impractical, unnecessary, and contrary to the public interest. And why are you checking this? Oh, but Congress said, by the way, you can't use it as an escape clause and something else that I found out because they got around and redid this. This was at the end, and it's in the end of the APA. No subsequent legislation shall be held to supersede or modify the provisions of this act except to the extent that such legislation shall do so expressly. It is recognized that no congressional legislation can bind subsequent sessions of Congress. The present act can be repealed in whole or in part at any time after its passage. However, the act is intended to express general standards of wide applicability. It is believed that courts should, as a rule of construction, interpret the act as applicable on the broad basis unless some subsequent act clearly provides to the contrary. So what did they do in 1966? They took part of that, but they didn't do anything about the APA. They put it off on some other thing. So we have a 1966 that may be repealed, but maybe it didn't because the Westlaw still shows the APA as codified in the 1946 code, which I happen to have a copy of. And the explicit part says it's got to say why they're doing it, and that is not in the 1966. But anyway, it's just something that I'm checking all these things. But anyway, 5 U.S.C. 553 is what all we have to do is check. That's it. And if that number is not in that publication in a proposed and final rule, it's BS. They will do without publishing a proposed final. They will just pull a final rule, or they say we're going to have notice and comments without 553. All this nonsense. If it doesn't say 553, and if they're using the informal, which they will, they have to state it if they're using it. They have to state the emergency, and that will never be there because there is no emergency for the IRS. I don't know about some of the others. There might be something on butter or some stupid thing. I don't know. Who knows? But it's irrelevant because the things that bind us. So this whole thing that this person got, all 12 of them are all smoke because every one of them cites a code section which they have no authority to use. And even the attorney general, I'll look and see if I can find it up, his definition as attorney for the government is in the Federal Register. And it's a Part 301 rig. And the party that's moving against you in the court is United States of America, which is not the government today. It's the government of the United States. That's in the Constitution. It was established in 1789. And it was the real party of interest until 1913. Until you and me decided we were citizens of the United States, not knowing any better, and they did the repeal on the 17th Amendment and left out the word several.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, we're back. Got a appellate brief to get done here, and I finish up. I've been working on this APA, just reading and just documenting to the nth degree everything that I can think of that they will try to use. Because when you take these guys on, they just lie. That's what they do. But that's fine. The thing is, the amazing thing is, most of the stuff has never been taken any higher. The Chrysler V. Brown was in the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, which is a specialty Article III court, which is no authority for it, as I found out after we got through it. The only way you find out what these things are is to go in and goose them. Make them come out of the woodwork. We have no constitutional courts. There's no elections for any state officers. I'm just amazed in Alaska, these people over there, if they want to, well, we want to fight. Yeah, I bring this up. Well, we don't want to talk about that. I said, well, I've heard something. And then you get shut down by the old guard Republicans there. You just literally cannot make this stuff up. The Attorney General's opinion in 1940 come right out and said the administrative, Article 3 courts cannot deal with regulations because there is no what? There's no case or controversy. It's about us being conned, submitting to something, to an obligation, and the other side is not responsible. Or them regulating us with no authority. And that's what they're doing. And I can prove it. I'm trying to get this done so I can put this into an Adobe Illustrator, a one-line. I can visualize this stuff because I've been doing it, but for people that haven't, obviously it's a pretty tough pill to visualize, follow somebody's talking on a thing without listening to it over and over, but I want to get it into Adobe Illustrator. Got the evidence now. I know what they did. I've been working on this for 20 years, more than 20 years. And I have chased so many rabbit holes. Oh, God. I've had my butt handed to me so many times on different things, but the thing is, you never give up. It's going to change. It is coming. Supposedly, this, I think it's Stephanopoulos is his name, did an interview. And as soon as the what happens in Arizona gets made public, you're going to need a whole bunch of popcorn, supposedly, because it's going to start to get interesting. So we'll see. I'm hoping for a whole bunch of people to go down to Guantanamo Bay for treason. But we'll see. I don't know. I've been hearing about these indictments for years. I'm still supposedly this Durham. This guy seems to think Durham's onto something, but I don't know. I don't trust any of these people anymore because they're all just the deep state is corrupt. How do you get all these people? Apple and all these big guys. I mean, they're all selling out for money, supporting BLM, which is a Marxist communist organization, and they don't even hide it. People support them. I don't understand it. I just really don't get it. Are we that stupid? I know the media, I mean, these people listen, they don't ever listen to the real stuff. Well, I listen to frankspeech.com, Lindell TV, Breitbart, InfoWars, World Net Daily. Then I go to Daily Mail because there's a lot of stuff on there that's in greater detail that you don't see anywhere else. We'll see you next Sunday, and what's up with the federales?
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoCertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is